Turn with me, if you have your Bibles handy there before you, to the birth narrative of Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the shepherds and the angels. One of the great joys of studying the Bible and actually doing that for a living is that you can read something that you've read, you've grown up with, you've heard it before, you think you've heard it before, and then something jumps out. Arrest your attention. It just shows how fresh the Word of God is every time you open it up. Hear now the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." We're going to focus our attention this evening on verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is so familiar, and at the same time, it is so fresh. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand what is here before us tonight, so that we may worship you and that we may especially worship the one whose incarnation we celebrate tonight. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes reading through a familiar Christmas story in the Bible is like riding from Jackson to Meridian. And you pass the exit signs. They read Pearl, Brandon, Pelahatchie, Forest, Decatur. And we see the signs. We pass by the signs, the exits, because our destiny, our destination is Meridian, not those other places. When reading a story in the Bible like this story, our starting point is verse 8. Our destination is verse 20, actually. And more often than not, in our haste to arrive at our destination, we miss an important sign in verse 12. A sign given by an angel of the Lord, an officially designated messenger from God Himself. A sign filled with meaning, because this sign signifies something significant about this baby. Something that sets this baby apart from every other baby ever born in the history of the world. This sign, the angel said, would tell the shepherds there at the right location is verse 12. It says, "This will be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This evening, before we observe the Lord's Supper, let's consider what this double-sided sign, with the manger on one side and the swaddling cloths on the other side, let's consider what this sign tells us about the child whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow. Notice in the first place, let's consider the manger and what the manger signified. Friends, this sign, or this side of the sign pointing to the Christ child is unusual. Putting a newborn in a manger is not something parents usually do. After all, a manger is a feeding trough for animals, for cattle. No parent would place their child in a place used to feed animals unless they had no alternative. This sign, this manger sign, tells the shepherds the family they will be looking for is a poor family. And this sign of the manger tells us something else, too. This sign points to our Lord's humility. It points to the fact that Jesus came to save all classes of people. No class of people is excluded. Winners, losers, rich, poor, and all the in-betweeners are included as people receiving the good news. Our Lord and Savior, as we read in our responsive reading tonight, humbled himself by coming into this world. Consider these words from a noted historian about the humility of the Lord. I'm quoting here. He writes, "Jesus was an extremely poor man, born and reared in obscurity. A stable was his birthplace and a manger his cradle. For many years he worked as a carpenter in a poverty-stricken, despised village which bore the scorn of men as they asked, 'Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?' He began his public ministry at the Jordan River with no organization to support him, no patrons to fund him." We'd add today, no GoFundMe page either. He preached without price. He performed miracles for which he received no money. He even had to borrow a small coin when he needed to make a simple illustration. How pathetic his words sound. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Occasionally he was invited into homes for meals, but many times he went hungry. He frequently slept under open skies. Once he spent 40 days in the wilderness without food. This one who was both God and man constantly went about, in spite of all this, doing good. At the end of his life, this man was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, that's the price of a slave. He was unjustly crucified. As he hung on the cross, he was finally stripped of his last remaining possession. His burial clothes were a gift from a friend, and he was laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. Why? Why this kind of birth? Why this kind of life? Why this kind of death? We don't have to guess at the answer because 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us this. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich." You see, the significance of Jesus' birth may be summarized in this way. Jesus endured a human birth so that we might have a heavenly birth. Jesus occupied a stable so that one day we will occupy a mansion. Jesus had an earthly mother so that we may have a heavenly father. Jesus left glory so that we may have glory. Jesus was poor so that we might be rich. That's one side of the sign. But there's another side of this sign to the shepherds. Notice in the second place, we see the manger and what the manger signifies. But consider in the second place the swaddling clothes and what these clothes signify. You see, the other side of this sign given to the shepherds is, well, as you know, swaddling is wrapping a baby in cloth strips or with a blanket to provide warmth and security. Swaddling allows the internal thermostat of a newborn to adjust to life outside his or her mother. Swaddling keeps babies still, secure, allowing them to sleep and not be startled. In essence, for the infant, swaddling provides an environment similar to their mother's womb. Swaddling is something practiced in many cultures. Greeks, Romans, and of course, Native American baby, you remember, was carefully wrapped and carried in something called a papoose. For Jewish people, swaddling was part of caring for a newborn. After a child was born, the umbilical cord was cut and tied, the baby was washed, rubbed with salt and oil, and wrapped in strips of cloth, swaddling clothes, to keep the child warm and secure and comfortable. But the question remains, how is swaddling clothes a sign for the shepherds? Would it be like today saying something like, "You'll find the baby wearing Huggies or Pampers"? Well, for shepherds, swaddling clothes was a sign of something. But of what? You see, there's something deeper here than blankets and diapers. And to get to something deeper, we need to consult one of the most respected authorities of antiquities on the life of Christ, a Jewish Christian by the name of Alfred Edersheim. Now, here's what Edersheim writes. And I'm quoting here. Bethlehem is located 5.5 miles from Jerusalem. And in the fields outside Jerusalem, these shepherds to whom the angel of the Lord appeared were, now get this, Levitical shepherds. Men specifically set apart from childhood for the sacred task of raising sheep, but not just any sheep. Sheep used for the temple sacrifices offered during Passover. As part of their job description, these shepherds were told their little lambs must be without blemish. Now, newborn lambs were known to thrash and about and get bruised and cut. And their being bruised and cut would disqualify this newborn for sacrifice. So according to the information found in a Jewish document, Edersheim refers to as the Mishnah, the shepherds of these sacrificial lambs carefully wrap their newborn lambs in the first hours after birth with cloths. In other words, the shepherds swaddled these Passover lambs to prevent injury, to ensure that these lambs would be without blemish and qualified to be perfect sacrifices to God. So the sign to these shepherds was a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, a child protected from blemish like a perfect sacrificial lamb. Friends, don't miss this. These shepherds were sent by an angel of the Lord to find no one less than the one true lamb, the lamb destined to be the final sacrifice for sin. And isn't it interesting? The only other time Jesus would be swaddled in strips of cloth was when he died. In his birth, in his death, Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes. In other words, this child whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow was born to die for our sins. This Christmas Eve, it doesn't take a lot of imagination for us to see the shepherds arriving at Jesus' birthplace, finding Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, and at least thinking to themselves something that would later be spelled out by John the Baptizer when John first saw Jesus Christ. This evening, as we approach the table of the Lord, we look at Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection. We look at this child wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then we look past the manger to the empty tomb where Jesus now is unswaddled and alive forevermore. And we say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we gather together on this Christmas Eve, from the very bottom of our hearts, we thank you for the humble and exalted Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.